Hello, and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this week's episode, we get into the songs that are at the top of our playlist and should be added to yours. We have Cry For Me by Twice, Feel Good by Promise 9, Aura featuring PH1 by Chunny, and Beach Again by Saksuri. From older groups to new goos, we got you covered with the K-pops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I really enjoyed the NCT Resonance Beyond Live. It really was a good ending to 2020.
I felt like that whole concert was like a highlights concert.
Yeah.
It
flew by.
One good track after the other.
I was having so much fun, and then it ended.
I know. And I'm so happy that they did Touch.
You called that one.
I did.
I'm Casey, co-host. And I just want to thank BTS for recreating their iconic I Need You stage for KBS Song Festival. They gave us visuals. They gave us vocals. And they gave us, more importantly, J-Hope in Chanel suspenders.
What?
I'm so grateful to end my year with that.
And the short pants came back.
And the short pants. Only for two of them. Everyone else wore pants because they're grown.
Cute.
And we also have a special unit with us here today. Gabe is back.
Yeah, so in Chris's absence, I'm back, part of Idol Talk SG, and I just want to say congratulations to Mariah Carey for her perfect all kill for All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yeah, did you see? She got a perfect all kill for her song.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wait, like...
And Ariana Grande at a close second.
Yes.
It actually won on music shows?
No. So, like, but perfect all kills when you get, like, number one on, like, all the charts at the same time.
Oh.
And she achieved it for, like, maybe it was, like, a day or two?
Yeah, like 2 days, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And then Mariah Carey even liked a tweet from one of the chart Twitter accounts that was, like, congrats to Mariah Carey, and she liked it, too. And so everyone was talking about that.
Wow.
That was probably her most liked tweet of, like, all time. I mean, just because K-pop Twitter is, like, powerful. That's just what I mean. Anyways, thank you all for those introductions. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on various platforms. Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Pandora. If you have any feedback or topics that you'd like us to cover, email us at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. We also have our new content directory, idoltalkpod.uwu.ai, and this is just a reminder that it is not a scam. And this also happens to be a special episode because it's actually our 50th episode. Ooh. I can't believe it's already been that many.
I know, right?
And it's our last episode of the year 2020. And in this special K-pop episode, what we wanted to do is to reflect on our 2020 New Year's resolutions, even though a lot of us didn't remember them, but we kind of re-listened to them and thought about them. And what we wanted to do was kind of give us a last chance at fulfilling our New Year's resolutions through recommending some maybe different songs that we hadn't looked at before in order to fill our New Year's resolutions. So I'll go ahead and give Gabe the first recommendation.
So seeing as I wasn't on the New Year's resolutions episode at the beginning of 2020, I feel like I'm categorically exempt from having to do this.
That's fair.
So I'm going to rec the same people I rec'd last time, which is Twice. We always love our girls, Twice. And they're out with a new digital single called Cry For Me, which debuted at the Mamas. Bad boy, yeah, you really make me a mad girl, whoa.
Just
So Cry For Me, as I said, they first performed it at the Mamas as a special stage, and it kind of blew up Twitter for a little bit because they're like, oh my god, like there's a new Twice song. And then I think after a few days they became, that stage became like the most viewed Mamas performance.
Oh wow.
And then a week later or so, they released the digital single on streaming platforms and everything. Sadly, there's no music video, but I think the song is really great. It's kind of in the same vein as I Can't Stop Me. It has a very similar sound. And one thing I'll say about this track is that Jonghyun, her vocals, I think, are actually really well suited to this one. And it's the first time I'm kind of like noticing her. Sorry for sleeping on you, Jonghyun.
I noticed that she wasn't in the Mama performance. Is she still out?
Yeah, she's still out for, I think it's like, she has like anxiety mm-hmm. issues or something that she's been out for a while now. So she's supposed to be back sometime in the new year. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, she recorded the lyrics and everything for this track. So I think it's been in the works for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that why there's no music video?
I don't know, actually. I think there was no music video just because they didn't have the time to record one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it like...
I like the tear choreo. And this.
Oh, speaking of choreo, so the guy who choreographed this song is the same choreographer for Blackpink's How You Like That.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I follow like him on Instagram. I follow a lot of choreographers, actually.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That they kind of get to showcase like different styles, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was? I don't know. I felt like this song was like an experiment for them to see if the audience would like be receptive to a non Aegyo Twice.
Oh my god, I had that exact same thought when Gabe, when you first sent this video in the chat. I was like, this is different and I love it. I love the visuals.
Yeah, it was like definitely, it was taking, I think, I Can't Stop Me and going more of like a sad girl.
Yeah, like more mature for sure.
It also felt like kind of... I don't know, it gave me I didn't look up what the lyrics meant, but it gave me, like, mocking, sarcastic vibes, like, crying, you know? And I was like, I love this sass.
From like, TT crying to this?
Yes!
Is that their growth?
They're upgrading.
Should we look at the Genius lyrics right now?
Ooh, yeah, we love Genius on the pod.
So, I mean... So I wonder if JYP was actually planning to like actually put out a digital track of it. If like, what was there? Was this planned or was it like, oh, like it did well, so
yeah, I had a question about that too. Like, is this a digital single in preparation for a new album? Like, why did they release this?
I honestly have no idea. I think it was more to like build up excitement around their Mama's performance, if anything.
The psycho method.
I think it really worked for them. I thought that, like, I mean, their Mama's performance, I think, was probably one of the highlights of their year. Probably. I mean, their comebacks were good, but they weren't, like, stellar, like, I don't know, Cheer Up or, like, a TT or, like, a What Is Love.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that this really kind of... kept them at the top and put them in a good position to still maintain some kind of dominance in 2021. Because I thought that, I think without this, the hill, there was like a curve that was going downward, but I feel like this kind of like shifted it back up a little bit.
You think?
I think so.
I like Twice's new sound, but I always have to think about like, is this a bop? And then it always, like, at the end, it always ends up being a bop. But it's, maybe I'm just so used to, like, the normal Twice. And I don't know what I'm expecting every time I hear them, but it's just, it's different and I like it, but I always question if I like it. Is that weird?
No, that's not weird, because there's been plenty of times where we've we've said that a song is a flop on the podcast, and then like three episodes later we're like, we rescind our comments, we love the song, it's growing on us. And yeah. I feel like that happened with me and twice again with Cry For Me. Oh, wait, not Cry For Me, I loved it from the moment I saw that video, but what was it? Oh, Can't Stop Me. And I feel so dumb because I like the English version so much that it made me like the original Korean version. And I know that historically on the pod we've panned on the English versions of songs, but the lyrics actually aren't like random sentences strung together. There's like a cohesive like flow to the lyrics in the English version that you don't really see from the Korean groups that are more dominantly Korean and don't necessarily typically pander to the West. So it was a welcome change. I liked it. I think Twice is definitely coming into 2021 hot, especially with Cry For Me. I'm excited. I love it.
Do you think that they will keep up this more mature side of them moving forward into probably their more second half of their career, or will they go back to what brought them here?
They can't go back. They've already committed to this. Like, it's gonna be, I feel like it's gonna be so flip-floppy if they suddenly do like Cheer Up
TT,
you know. If anything, they're just gonna keep going down this route, and then in 2022 they're gonna debut an Aegyo group or something.
I think they're gonna stick with it, because like, if you think about it too, their fan, because like, it's like anything, your fans kind of grow up alongside you,
right?
So you can't stick with the same kind of like sound forever, because your fans, their taste might change, and like the people who like used to stand Twice back in the TT era are now like in their mid-20s like us and are,
but
know,
then what about their fanboys that just love Aegyo?
They have the new girl groups of 2020.
Like, yeah, there's weekly. So many of them.
Stay tuned for that, listeners. We might do a special episode in the maybe first half of the year on some new groups.
On weekly? Oh.
Not solely dedicated to weekly, but you know.
Oh, fun fact for the listeners. I was debating very heavily whether to do Twice or weekly on this episode. Because after last episode, when I was talking about weekly so much, I was like, I'm kind of curious about what they sound like. And then I started listening. I was like, oh, they kind of have that girl group sound that I'm really into. So shout out to weekly.
Keep it up, girls. All right. Salvage your reputation, won't you? Anyways, it seems like Casey has a girl group recommendation for us, so we'll go ahead and transition to her.
Okay, so I just want to say that I did listen to our K-pop resolutions episode prior to this recording, so that I could be like, I could fully like just roast and expose myself for my failures. Freaky side note, in the episode, I said, I'm jobless and my job is to stan K-pop. But at the time, I was, you know, fully employed. And then, like, 3 months later, I was furloughed. So I was literally jobless. And my job was literally to stan. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
You
kind of predicted it for yourself.
I was shook. I know, never doing that ever again. The fact that I spoke that into existence thoroughly shook me to my core. I'm still shaking from it. But
okay, what else do you want to throw out into the universe for 2021?
No, I'm not doing later. That anymore, because who knows what the universe is going to do with that. So I had three resolutions, and the first was to stop solo standing. Failed miserably, because I solo stand Haechan all year, basically. Then my second resolution was to stop listening to only my liked songs on Spotify. Failed miserably. I only discovered like two new groups this year, and that was purely on accident. And then my last resolution that I also unsurprisingly failed miserably was to stan more girl groups. To date, I still only stan Dreamcatcher, though I do like Twice a little more than I used to, but I still don't even know any names, so that was a flop. But I promise to redeem myself in this episode, because my recommendation this week, long build up to this, by the way, I'm so sorry, is Promise 9, Feel Good. So, since I completely failed all of my 2020 K-pop resolutions, I'm going to end the year on a high note by doing justice to Promise 9, because I don't think we've recommended them on the pod yet, so we don't have like a background existing. Okay, great. So, here's the background on Promise 9, which is super dramatic, and it's kind of made me want to stan them just because I love all the drama, and I love redemption arcs and like underdogs. So they are under the joint CJ ENM/Stone Music Company Off the Record, which is also IZ*ONE's company. And much like IZ*ONE, Promise 9 was formed through a competition reality show called Idol School in 2017. However, unlike IZ*ONE, they were formed with the intention from the get-go of being a permanent group. And their name is from IS, Idol School, and then 9, as in the 9 numbers. But it's okay, pronounced
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's pronounced as Promise, because they have a promise to their fans that they'll be the best girl group. Cute!
Oh, so the F nice. Has a P sound.
Promise. Yeah, it's like a play on words.
Oh. Well, it's also because there's no F in Hangul. That's why.
Yeah, so it's like they're making like a they're using like the pronunciation as like.
Oh, that worked really well for them.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Oh, cute.
So their 9 members are Seiram, Hayoung, Giri, Jiwon, Jisun, Soyeon, Chaeyoung, Nakhyung, and Jihyun. They had a pre-debut called Glass Shoes on Music Bank, but I don't understand why a pre-debut song exists and it's not considered their debut. Does anyone know? No?
Maybe it was like a test song. Like a test song to see if they would do well, and then they actually debuted.
And they were like, all right, you did okay, like, let's go.
I don't know if this is true, but it might have been also when they were still, like, survival-y show
kind of yeah, thing. Like a pick-me type of thing.
Yeah, like, oh. They
or
did
like
well.
Stray Kids, Hellevator.
Hellevator was their debut song.
Oh, wait, was it?
Yeah. Well, they released it on the show, but they also debuted with it.
Well, I don't understand what a pre-debut song is, but that's what they did. And then a month later is when they officially debuted in 2018 with their title track, To Heart, and they performed at the 2018 Mamas in Japan, which is crazy for a rookie group that just barely debuted.
The nepotism.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say.
Hell yeah. Never mind.
Sorry, I mean, come on, it's true.
I'm surprised they didn't perform at the Korean Mamas.
Yeah.
Damn, say it louder for the people in the back.
Let's not go. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, you may go there, because
okay.
if anything I said is true.
Well, I will
you
say, so Idol School was exactly during the same time when the survival shows were really hot. So, like, this was during the 2017, like, Produce 101. Like, Mnet was just
on fire,
churning these out. Mm-hmm. Like, every single season. Like, every single, like, literal every single, like, weather season, there was a new one.
Yeah, anyways, so.
Sorry, Casey.
It's okay. So, their first comeback later that year gave us the song DKDK. But it wasn't until their fall comeback that they came out with what I consider to be one of the top bops from 2018, Love Bomb. And it was
Love Bomb. Love Bomb.
Yeah, you know it. It's so good. It's catchy. It's energetic. So good.
And I like it.
And then in June 2019, that's when they gave us the addictive summer bop Fun. And I didn't realize until I was researching, because I like this song. I didn't realize until I was researching. I was like, wait, I like all of these songs. Like, do I like Promise 9?
Wait, and Casey, I really want you to stand them. I'm just going to say that.
I think I will, because I'm like, I consumed so much content that, like, I feel kind of attached now. Oh, just I didn't say this earlier, but I do want to give credit for my sources. Internet's Nathan on YouTube and also Promisepedia.com.
Wow.
They have their own. Yeah, Promisepedia is like the premier resource for all things Promise 9. So if you are an aspiring Flover, I don't know how your fandom name is pronounced. It's like Clover but with an F.
Clover?
I don't know. Clover, but with an F. So Flover.
Clover. Or is it a Flover. P?
Clover. Clover. Well, whatever. If you aspire to
Casey,
know more
we'll
about Promise
take
9,
this. We're going to take this like clip 1 year from now, and you're going to be hardcore whatever Clover they are.
Or she's going to forget all about them.
I guess we'll find out. I'm again not speaking anything into existence in this episode because I'm so scared. But anyway, so Fun was literally their last comeback, and then for a year and like 3 months, they had nothing because the Produce and Idol School scandals hit. And then COVID hit. So they were literally shelved. Yes. And Internet's Nathan says they were shelved because their entertainment company was small and needed to put all their resources into IZ*ONE since they are, you know, taking the brunt of, like, the Produce scandals. But I also saw in, like, Reddit subreddits that it's mostly because IZ*ONE is, like, more popular / profitable for the company, and because IZ*ONE is a temporary group, whereas Promise 9 is more permanent. But 2020, later half of 2020, was turning things around in K-pop because Promise 9 came back with their song Feel Good, which is their title track off their September 2020 album My Little Society. It's so cute. It fits in line with the funky, disco-y, retro concept that every group was doing this year. But I think I think it really, like, stands out among them. Like, yeah, it's commercial and, like, mainstream, but it does have, like, and it's a departure, I will say, from, like, their previous tracks. But it stand, like, their vocals stand out so much to me in this track. And I think that it does, like, go head-to-head with all the other, like, big groups from 2020 that released a similar retro sound. And I think it is a more mature look and sound for the group overall, which I think, given everything they've been through, not just this year, but, like, in general, with, like, Idol School and all that stuff, like, it is... They're no longer, like, young girls. Like, they are women, and they're trying a new sound, and I'm excited. Damn it, I'm a stan. I'm a stan.
Wow. So, what do you think will get Promise 9. Wait, by the way, is Promise 9 the one that, like, when you sing Love Bomb, is it the one that it's like, la la love bomb, like that
no.
one? Oh.
La la love bomb, la la la. No, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It is,
yeah.
right? So yeah. that means we, the people that went to KCON last year, they were there.
Oh!
We saw
them. Yeah, we saw Promise 9.
Yeah, we saw
them. Yeah, they were at KCON.
How exciting.
Yeah. Well, and then you realized, Ashley.
Wait, do you guys remember, the dude who was sitting, I think, near us at KCON, and, like, he was just there for Promise? Remember?
I don't remember.
No, but...
He was, like, jamming out to Promise 9, like,
was he
pretty
doing
hardcore.
The choreo?
Yeah. And then, like, after they were finished performing, he, like, left. And, like, during the whole thing, he was, like, screaming and, like,
well, it was just us two, Gabe. We were sitting separate.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But didn't
I remember
now. Promise 9 only perform one song?
I think
they
might have two.
Got, like, two, yeah.
I know they performed Love Bomb and Fun at the very least.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you guys saw my favorite girl group.
Your favorite girl group for, like, 30 hours.
No, I wish them all the luck in 2021. I think if they keep the momentum going with, like, their release with this mini album, because the B-sides are also very good. But again, we'll have to see. I don't know what's going on with IZ*ONE and how IZ*ONE stuff is going to affect Promise 9's activities or promotions or anything like that. Because again, Off the Record is a small entertainment company with, I think they only have the two groups. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think I'm going to stan.
I want you to stan. Those girls are really cute and they're really, really
they
pretty.
They are cute. Every girl in that group is a visual. And
yeah.
I already have a favorite, Hyung. But mostly because I notice her in all the videos I've been watching. I still have to consume everything on promisepedia.com. So I'll tune
wow,
in.
I'll report back. I'm, like, really excited for you to, like, dive into another world that you've never dived into before, except for Dreamcatcher. I know.
It is a departure for me because I'm not really into, like, the bright... Like, one of the things that draws me to Dreamcatcher is that they have that, like, darker, edgier look that's still... Mm-hmm. It's more, like, fantastical than it is, like, baddie vibes, you know? And
Tame
Promise
and
9 is... Yeah, and Promise 9 is not necessarily that, but I like the direction they're going with Feel Good. So, we'll see. I'll report back every episode with my level of standing. Right now, I think I'm at a 25%.
That 25% literally just went from 0 to 25, mind you.
Yeah, it'll be very powerful. Sometimes. And,
all right.
Ooh, yeah, one more note on Promisepedia for any fan interested in viewing it. The website is laid out like a train map, like a subway map. Huh. So it's literally a guide step by step on, like, what you need to consume before you consume, like, all the latest Promise 9 stuff. So I think it's very organized and, like, yeah, it makes the timeline very clear. So I like that.
So it's like, don't consume this variety show until you have seen this. That's actually really helpful.
It's like subway stops. Like, you need to pass this before you can go to the next stop. It's so cute. And
that would have been really helpful on other rabbit holes.
Right.
Yes, it is the most organized rabbit hole I've ever been faced with in my entire K-pop career. So I shout out to the people who managed that site. It is amazing. Yes, it's a guided tour. Oh, I stan.
Love that.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll look forward to your updates on your journey, Casey. All right. We will transition to a very different, I think, sound. So we'll go ahead and give it to Ashley.
Yes. So my 2020 resolution, I had two. The first one was to listen to more K-R&B, and the second was to learn Korean. And I, unlike Casey, accomplished both of them. On my Spotify Wrapped, K-R&B was like my second listened to genre outside of K-pop, like
traditional K-pop idol music. And I owe all of the credit to Spotify's playlist Trend Chill, which means trendy and chill. It's like an abbreviation of the two words. That playlist has so many K-R&B bops, so please listen to it. I'll put it in the link of or in the bio of this description. And then on the, I think it was the fall semester, is when I started a Korean class through the Korean like Cultural Institute of Los Angeles. And normally this Korean class only does in-person lessons, but since COVID, they went completely virtual, and like randomly my aunt found them online and it was a free class. And so like it was me, Cynthia and Chris who all joined the introductory class together. And yeah, I know a lot of Korean now, like basic. And in the winter, starting January 5th, I'm enrolling in like the second level Korean class. I'm becoming more legit.
Why didn't you speak Korean in your IG live?
Because I'm not very good.
Well, Korean's a very hard language.
Yeah. I mean, I know now like grammar things, you know, like subject marking particles and like past tense and future tense and shit like that.
That you'll soon notice that idols don't talk with.
Really?
Those are completely optional when you're speaking.
I know. And this is totally tangent. But I also noticed that people speak in like, they just like moshita. And moshita is like the root word when you're supposed to say like moshisoyo. And people just say it as like a declarative as opposed to like you're saying it properly to somebody. Anyway, tangent over. So
do you want me to elaborate on that or
okay,
do you
no,
want
to go ahead. No, it? Go ahead.
Well, it's really complicated with the roots because you can say it as a root and it's a casual it's the same meaning.
Yeah.
But it can also be extremely, extremely formal, as in when you're writing like a formal essay or when you're writing like a newspaper, to write it only in the root form.
Oh.
So when you're doing like formal presentations.
Wait, but isn't that what the deferential style is?
No, like we're talking like no conjugation of anything. Like, moshita. Oh.
So more formal than the deferential?
Like people use this in only like when you're making a formal presentation or you're writing an essay, like that's when you write like without conjugating, which is weird because also you could do it as like super, super casual.
Yeah.
When you're like just like, talking mashita, to a friend
like
or something.
Yummy. Yeah.
Like a reaction.
Yeah.
Or something.
Also for the listeners, Gabe and Nathan at UCI or UCLA or wherever the fuck you guys study together, they studied Korean. So them two, both of them, are expert levels. So if anyone should be speaking Korean, it should be them.
We are works in progress, just like the rest of us. It's incredibly difficult.
Okay, fine, whatever. Well,
I still can't say like anything.
Anyway, so my recommendation is a K-R&B song off the Trend Chill Spotify playlist, and the song is Aura by Junny featuring PH1. Junny is a Canadian who moved to Korea in pursuit of like a music career, and it says in his like K-pop profile bio that he auditioned for like a show, but I don't know how far he got. I think it's the same show as like Eric Nam, but not in the same time period, like one of those like audition shows. Anyway, so
like American Idol-ish show?
yeah like song idol song or I don't know. Anyway, so he is signed to Mauve Company, which is just a small label where he's the only artist.
So like Woojin.
I was gonna say it. I knew someone else was going to.
I don't know if Jennie is like CEO.
Oh my god.
Either, but yeah, he is the only artist there. He's a singer-songwriter, and he primarily releases K R&B songs and OSTs. So think like Crush, like. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what OSTs. Maybe you guys would have recognized it. He was on the OST It's Okay to Be Sensitive. I don't know that K-drama, but anyway, he was on it. And he debuted in April 2017. He knows English and Korean because he was born in Canada. And the song Aura is based upon like a real life experience of his. He wrote it and produced the song. And basically the song is like, he meets a girl and he like vibes with her aura, and that's the only time that they meet, and he like doesn't get any of her contact information, so he never sees her again. But he's like imagining how their next interaction would be, and he can't stop thinking about her because he like really vibed with her.
Ooh.
And, yeah. He sprung on her aura, basically. And the rapper who is featured on the song is PH1. He's a rapper under Jay Park's label, Higher Records. And then lastly, the song was produced by GXXD. I don't know how his name is pronounced, but GXXD stands for Girl Next Door. And the XX is supposed to be like next.
Oh, anyway, okay.
Yeah, GXXD. It almost looks like, stylized, it almost looks like G-Dragon. But
yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, but anyway. So I have some exciting news about Jennie, which I think you guys will be excited about. So he is a songwriter, and he's produced he's written the lyrics to one of our most recent favorite songs. Guess what it is? Songs that changed our life.
Make a Wish.
No. You're close. It changed our life. Think about that harder.
Coming Home? Or Come Home?
From Home.
From Home!
Oh!
Wait, what?
Yeah, he wrote the lyrics to From Home.
Oh, that's so great.
I know! And he also wrote the lyrics to Kai's
That's less impressive.
I know. From home rearranged version, he wrote the lyrics
to
it.
When he's writing it, what language does he write it in, and then does it get translated over? I guess maybe. I don't know the
details of that, but I know that a lot of SM songs are produced by foreign artists who record the demos in English. And he's fluent in English, so maybe he just like writes it in whatever language he feels comfortable.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
So he wears his emotions on his lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the easy thing with writing in a different language and converting it to Korean is that like with Korean, all the sentence endings can be made to rhyme with each other really easily. So that makes it a lot easier.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Wow, are we just like... So we're music theologians now, and now we're
and
like...
And we're linguists.
Yes!
We're
linguists, my god.
Yes, and for me...
Just kidding.
All roads lead back to NCT.
All roads lead back to NCT.
Specifically,
that is exactly the summary of one, Idol Talk this year, and two, Ashley, in a nutshell.
I didn't know that he wrote From Home. I just stumbled across
it. I wouldn't have guessed it
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it either. But yeah, Jennie is a really good artist. Other songs that I like from him are 2 O'Clock and Movie. So, and By My Side. So please stan him.
I liked the recommendation that you had us listen to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like it when artists can do very versatile things. So I'm going to look into him a little bit more now.
I'll link you OSTs.
You're just whipped for From Home.
I know.
I'm just simp for From Home. Y'all know that already.
That's true.
Did anyone else have any closing thoughts about Jennie?
I think I've seen some of his stuff around, because I think I have a friend who listens to K-R&B, and mm-hmm. Jenny was one of their songs, so
yeah.
I've heard of him before, but I just haven't registered to, like, follow.
Yeah, K-R&B is kind of a weird scene. I mean, maybe it's not weird, but, like, I know that at the beginning of the year, I really struggled with, like, connecting with the K-R&B artists, because unlike idols, K-R&B artists don't, like, do, or at least I haven't noticed them do, like, vlog shit. You know how idols always are, like, doing vlog yeah. shit?
Or, like, you probably just don't get a sense of who they are
right.
as people a little bit more.
They're more like American artists, where they focus primarily on the music, whereas Korean artists, they do everything. Like, they sing, they dance, their personalities, they're comedians, they're everything. But K-R&B artists, like, unless you're, like, Crush or fucking Lehigh, then no, at least I don't really know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And I think, isn't it, like, the genre of music just a little bit more undergroundy? Like,
it's just a different type of person who listens to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're trying to get invested, like Casey is, into, like, the secret lives of, like, Promise 9.
Oh my god.
I mean, I think that K-R&B pop is really mainstream, because, like, a lot of NCT's music and even Kai's music, they're all that K-R&B vibe, mm-hmm. but it's more like K-R&B pop, whereas
right.
Johnny and, like artists are more down, like, the K-R&B, like,
they take out the pop.
Yeah, they take out the pop. I think this song is a little bit pop, because I really like pop, but yeah. Anyway.
All right. Awesome. Well, are you going to continue your K-R&B journey in 2021?
Yes, of course. So, listeners, if you want recommendations, hit me up.
All right. Excellent. All right. So I'll go ahead and wrap us up by telling you all my recommendation. It's kind of a nod to one of my resolutions. It's kind of related, but also not really. But I'll just go ahead and try to explain. One of my resolutions was to not think about letting a company's, like, not reputation per se, but, like, not letting, like, the idea of a company drive, like, what I listen to, which often happens with me, because I have certain artists that I like from specific companies. But I actually came up with a list of, like, 5 or 6 songs that I was like, oh, I have no idea where these artists are from. So, one of the groups was SAC3, and they are a super group between 3 kind of huge megastars in Korea, mm-hmm. Joo Jae-suk, Lee Hyori, and Rain, which we'll talk about, I guess, in a little bit. But the song that they came out with in the summer was called Beach Again. So, like I mentioned, the 3 artists are from completely different, like, walks in life. So Joo Jae-suk is a comedian. He's known as, like, Korea's, like, comedian, Korea's mm-hmm. MC. Mm-hmm. He's always, like,
emceeing
things. He's literally everywhere. He's on Happy Together. He's on every single Running Man, everything that you can basically think of. And he's been in the industry for decades, I would think. Mm-hmm. Lee Hyori is a very, very famous girl group idol from Finkel, which is, like, a generation one, like, basic, not basic.
Foundational.
Yeah, foundational is the right word. Thank you, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Foundational group that kind of in the same era as like SES and all of those first generation
JYP.
Cohorts. Yeah.
Yes.
What can I say about JYP? And then speaking of JYP, we have Rain, who we know is a solo kind of phenomena in Korea. And I think Rain and JYP, as we speak right now, just came out with a collab MV, which I'm not wrecking this episode, but they're still going real strong, these first generation folks. So while I was doing some research, SAC3, they call themselves like a seasonal group. So originally I thought that this Beach Again song was going to be kind of like a one-off because it spun off of a variety show called Hang Out With You, who is the comedian that we were talking about on MBC. And they did just like a collaboration song and it just ended up being like this huge mega hit. I was reading about some of its chart history and it was like number one on Gaon charts for 5 weeks straight over the summer. And I was like, we haven't talked about them. Like, this is kind of a big deal.
This was the summer. This was the summer bop that we were missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the summer bop that like K-pop fans like probably didn't know anything about. Like, I knew these three people, but also it was like, what's going on here?
What doing
is SAC 3?
Yeah.
But the song itself, going back, it's a seasonal group, so they're meant to put out songs in the summer, which they did, and apparently they're supposed to put out something in the winter too. So I think, you know, we complained, like what Gabe was saying, like the entire year about how we didn't have a lot of like summer bops. And it was just because we weren't looking in the right places.
Yeah, we slept on this.
Yeah. So like the music video is like them just frolicking around like on the beach, these like three who look very young but middle-aged people.
Yes.
just like having fun on the beach. It's basically kind of like a summer love song reminiscing on like good memories that you've had, specifically making allusions to various things that you can do on the beach. I was reading some of the comments and people felt very nostalgic about the three artists together and also very nostalgic about kind of like what the song was portraying in terms of being able to do fun things. And I don't want to relate everything to COVID, but there were some comments about that were kind
all
of
roads
like
lead back to COVID.
That too. they were like very sad about how like they also kind of weren't able to do a lot of fun things over the summer. So I thought that song was like really fun. Also came in way too late on this song. But it was like a similar group in terms of what happened to Refund Sisters with Jessie, Hwasa et al. So they're kind of like a group, but
like a
they don't have
group.
Like yeah, they don't have like permanent homes, but they also release like mega hits.
And if anything, it's like more temporary than like an Eyes One type of thing. And I'd be curious to see if MBC continues to do this, like get together like these idols and like other artists that are like super popular and just stick them all together and have them do a collab.
Well, they got really lucky with Hiyori because she is like a huge star and she's very selective on her projects. So prior to her participation in this, she did her like Hiyori's Homestead TV show thing for two seasons and then went on a break because that was like overwhelming and it was a long break, like a couple years or so.
I mean, and these variety shows do really well. Yeah. They're not just like oh, you know, some variety shows go and come, but like these, the one that Lee Hardy did and the one like Hang Out With You, I was looking at the popularity of it and I was like, oh, I've been missing out. Like these have been like very high rated shows.
I watched a couple episodes of Hang Out With You and the concept is like chaotic. Have you guys seen it?
Mm-mm. I've seen clips.
So basically the MC guy, the main dude, he has a video camera and the staff tell him to like record just things that he's doing. And it's like a relay cam where he passes the camera on to a next person and that person passes it on to a next person. And then finally, like five people later, he gets back the camera. And then they, and I don't know if this is the concept for just the beginning of the show, because I didn't get too far in the show to where like Hiyori and Rain were introduced. But after they do their relay cam, all the people who participated in the relay, they come together and they watch the episode. And they're like, oh, that's what happened after I gave you the camera? Like, and they meet like a bunch of random people. So at the beginning of the show, like, you know, from TVXQ was on it. Mm. There was a model girl. There's a bunch of actors and comedians. And they don't really know, like, all the people who get the camera don't necessarily know each other. They know the person that gave them the camera, but like the end person might not be friends with like this guy who got the camera three people ago. So
I have a question. Like, so with the guests though, like, what's their purpose? Like, for example, when the camera gets passed to, I don't know, you know, from TVXQ, like, what does he do with it?
He just like vlogs basically. So when was passed the camera, he took it to the gym. And he just, like, vlogged himself at the gym. Then he went home and then watched, like, a scary movie. And then passed it on. And some people keep it.
Oh, so that's why.
Go ahead.
That's why it's like, oh, that's what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically just, like, filming their lives.
It's like NCT 24/7 Relay Cam.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's like that.
With like a 7 degrees of separation element to it, because they're not necessarily like related to every single person it's passed to.
Mm. Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the show's concept. How do you play? Isn't it How Do You Play, the title of the show? How do you play? Like the English translation of it, but it's like what do you do?
What do you do?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the concept of the show is when they get to Hiyori and Rain's portion, because that's where the conversation around the like super group came about. And it seems like the show transitioned to be more focused upon the group rather than like the camera passing.
So yeah, I was looking at who appeared in which episodes, and it was like random one episode kind of fillers for like a long time, and then it was like a billion episodes of SAC 3.
Yeah,
maybe like, it was they were like a more popular or like successful dynamic rather than like any other people they had on. Because I don't know. I was like, after you said you were going to recommend this, Nathan, I went into like their content, like some of their YouTube videos, and I love the dynamic that Hiyori has with Jaesuk and with Rain. Mm-hmm. Like, she's constantly roasting and bullying Jaesuk, like constantly, nonstop. Does not take any breaks with
That's
her savagery,
cute.
And he just takes it like a champ. And then Rain turns into like the little brother silly type with her, and she really brings that out
really
of him.
Nice.
And I think that's what people liked, because you know Rain is, he's super well known as being like this solo artist who's kind of just like, from what I know of him,
thirsty.
He's just hot. Yeah, he's just like this hot, intimidating dude. But like his interactions with Hiyori really humanized him in my eyes. So maybe that's why they had a broader appeal than other guests.
Right.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, because I think what people liked about it is because, like Gabe was saying earlier, people grow up with their idols. People grow up with Korean stars. Like, we get to know them personally, and they've been in the industry for so long. So it feels they already are connected to them.
Right.
So
yeah, nostalgia. Can we just talk about the fact that Lee Hyori brought this, like, she made her career and like flourished in like the late 90s, early 2000s, right? And this was her whole vibe. Like, everything that's popular right now with this like late 90s, early 2000s trend coming back is her. And she got to bring it full circle with Beach Again.
Right.
And it's just so beautiful to me that she like can do the same concept, because she's still fucking hot at 40.
Yeah, she is.
Yes, she's beautiful. And she's like this whole concept could have gone really weird, you know? Like, Ajushi is trying to be cool, but
JYP.
But it, like, they actually found cool Ajushis. It worked well.
Because it's their concept.
Yeah.
They were the ones who pioneered this stuff, who invented culture for South Korean pop culture.
Yeah.
So it only is fitting that they should be the ones to participate in this trend as well, because they literally invented it for South Korea.
Yeah. So I knew, I think we all knew a little bit about Joo Jae-suk. He did previously like Dancing King with EXO.
Yeah.
He's always hung out with the young kids. He's always been the coolest of the old kids. Like, he's always been the center of every attention. But I think, like, going back to what Casey was saying about the 90s, the song is a total 90s, like, vibe. And it kind of, again, brings it back to normal K-pop, I think. And I think that it's a great nostalgic feeling for a lot of people that have been there.
Yeah, I don't think any modern group can pull this sound off. Mm-hmm. It was only them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that, like, this was cool. I wish I knew of this song. I mean, I knew that it was a thing, but I was like, for some reason, I was hesitant to click it. Also because, like, I don't know them as much as I know of other idols, and therefore it was a failure of my New Year's resolutions.
Well, you fulfilled it in this episode.
Just a couple months late.
We both completed our resolutions just in time.
Yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, I think this wraps up our K-pop's episodes for 2020. I think we have a pretty good, I was looking through our list of them. I was like, damn, we have some really good hits on what we have recommended to our listeners. Don't forget that you could find a complete playlist of all of our K-pops in the episode description, as well as timestamps to our individual recommendations. And before we log off, we'll just let you all know of our social media handles one more time, at Idol Talk Pod and Instagram and Twitter. And please help us rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Podcasts. Until next time, we'll talk to you all in 2021. Goodbye.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!